It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. I just want to Halloween for most of us will be celebrating Halloween or some version of Halloween tomorrow. And not to be too soapboxy about it, just if you're going to go out and, party hardy and drink and all the other stuff, be smart. And both on Lyft and Uber, you can schedule your ride. And even if you have to pay 50 or 60 bucks for a taxi or an Uber or a Lyft, man, that is so much better than getting pulled over and have to deal with a DUI or DWI or whatever. Just a little food for thought. I know it's not very positive, but sometimes you gotta, you just gotta deal with what it is. And anyway, so just keep that in mind. It is gonna happen, and just have to prepare for it. It's not, it's nothing that big. All right, so. Buyer, this is a quote for the day. Quote of the day from Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank fame. Buyers decide in the first 8 seconds of seeing a home if they're interested in buying it. Get out of your car, walk in their shoes, and see what they see within the first 8 seconds. Now, how does that, why did I pick that quote? Well, because we, as marketers, as business owners, have to put ourselves in the shoes or in the skirts or in the mindset of our buyers, right? And sometimes we forget that. On more than one occasion, I have created the perfect product, the perfect copy, if you will, and sold nothing because I got so infatuated with my own junk. And believe it or not, it happens quite regularly with a lot of my clients. So we as business owners, as marketers, have to sometimes put aside what we think is good, what we think is right, and what we're excited about, and get into the mindset of our buyers. So buyers decide the first 8 seconds of seeing a home if they're interested in buying it. Get out of your car, walk in their shoes, and see what they see within the first 8 seconds. That is the quote of the day. And my guest today is Martin R. Lewis. Martin Lewis, author of How Customers Buy and Why They Don't. He's an entrepreneur, dynamic speaker, and authority on business strategy, sales, and marketing processes. Lewis is CEO and founder of Market Partners, an organization which helps companies accelerate revenue based on the customer buying journey. He consults with selling teams across a broad range of businesses, from startups to industry giants, and his work has been used across 44 countries, impacting over 85,000 sales professionals. Martin Lewis, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. I think that this is one of those areas that sometimes people become deaf and blind to. But I think really, if you are a true professional, if you're a true business person, an entrepreneur, if you really want to be successful, this is an area that you can never stop learning about, and that is your customers. What motivates them to buy? What motivates them not to buy? This is, to me, a very a non-ending learning journey, if you will, that we constantly have to get in the mindset of our buyers.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's tough. And, it was so interesting, Bert, you were saying it earlier. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a salesperson, as a marketeer. You're passionate about your offering, whatever it may be. And of course you are. You have to be, and you should be. But that blinds you to what's going on in the customer's mind, because you get to the state where, and I hear this expression so much, only a fool wouldn't buy. You're offering the better mousetrap, and you're only charging $8 for it, and people are going to get $20 worth of value. Whatever it is, it's very clear in your mind that you're offering something that's valuable to your marketplace. And you know what? You are right. We work with very, very few companies that have got bad offerings. Most have got good offerings that are going to translate to value to their customers. But then that passion believes only a fool wouldn't buy. Well, the problem is you're going to find out the world is full of a lot of fools. In fact, they're not fools. What they're doing is they're buying without your passion and without your singular focus on your offering. But that's all you're seeing, that this is so valuable to my customer. The customer is going, I've got all these other things going on. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. I want this. I don't want that. All of this is going on in the mind of the buyer. And that passion for your offering blinds you to it.
It does. It really does. Okay, so let's start this. So here you are, doing what, or what was the inspiration to write the book? Why write this book, and what, you know, what got you excited about writing the book?
Well, a client of mine just the other day said, this is your life's work, isn't it, Martin? And I had never thought of it that way, but you know what? It kind of is my life's work. I've been in sales and marketing, and I ran sales and marketing people for, I'd hate to say it, but 40 years, across a wide range of industries. When I started my consulting company 22 years ago, you're very fortunate because you then work with multiple companies, obviously around the globe and across industries. And what I saw again and again and again was a pattern. Salespeople going out, marketing people doing what they do, everybody going to the marketplace with a lot of energy and passion, and yet the results weren't always there. So about 18 years ago, what we started to do is something that is kind of obvious, but maybe counterintuitive. We went to our clients' customers. We went to their market and started talking to them, doing the market research, talking to them about, so what do you think about this? How would you buy this? How did you buy this? What was going on in your mind? Who got involved? What were the factors you were thinking about? What happened? And it was a very interesting story, because what we heard was very different from what the selling organization was doing. And we started to see this huge gap between how people go to market and how people buy. And the more we talked about 2,500 buyers of a broad range of offerings, from business-to-consumer offerings to business-to-business offerings, multi-million-dollar offerings. And we saw this repeating pattern of there's a complexity around how people buy in today's world. And I'll make that point right now, that buyers are buying very differently today than they did 10 years ago. And that is where we see that we've got a sophisticated buyer that has information at their fingertips and buys differently. And what we have, we've got to sell differently. So that was kind of what the inspiration, that's the epiphany for me, having been a sales and marketing person all my life, looking at how do customers buy. It's not what you think. Why do they not buy? Why do they not buy something that seems really a great value to them? Well, there's reasons. It appears like as if they don't buy logically, but in actual fact, they do, and they buy predictably if you decode it. So after those years of looking at this, we realized that, yes, we've got a way of decoding how customers buy. And I'd reached a point where I wanted to kind of document that and share that and kind of offer people this kind of, here's how today's buyer buy, and this is what it means to your business or enterprise.
Yeah. And I liked the fact that you're looking at both sides of the coin, right? Why do they buy? Why do they don't buy? Because it's just as important. And, you know, one of the things that constantly amazes me is, you know, and we've probably have all seen this, you come across a very niche market and you're thinking, wow, I didn't know this existed. And it's got this massive fan base and it's just, blows me away that this niche industry has been out there for, you know, years or, you know, whatever, hundreds of years, even in some cases. And it's just the bottom line is that these people know what their customers want to buy and they know what they're about. And so it's just one of those interesting things. So let's talk about this. You mentioned about decoding it. Why is it essential for any organization to develop a deep understanding of their market's buying journey? Talk about this. Talk about the buying journey.
Well, the buying journey is what we call the whole process that somebody goes through from the moment they kind of wake up to the fact that they could be doing something different. They've got an opportunity. They need to do something. There's something new. So from the moment that acorn is planted right the way through to all that they do, all that they get involved in, all that they think, how they make decisions, through to when they acquire something, but not just them, but the continual when they start to use something, and in some cases, the ongoing relationship they have with that company. So that's the buying journey. And we believe that people the traditional way is to focus on just a very small part of that buying journey, which is to really make people aware of your offering, educate them about the benefit of it, and then persuade them to actually buy. That is such a small part of the overall buying journey that people are blind to what's going on. How are buyers really buying? What's going on in that buying journey? What is that acorn that starts somebody even thinking about this? What alternatives are they faced with? How do they make the decisions? How do they prioritize what they're going to do? What steps do they go through? What research they do? Where do they go for that research? Who else gets involved? Who do they talk to? Or do they go on the web and get information? Invariably, yes, they do. Who else gets involved in the buying process? What do they bring? What's their motivations? What's their agendas? What's the politics? Where do they go when they decide that, yes, they're going to do something? How do they know what to do? How do they make their decisions? What drives them? What are they looking for at the end of the day? And very importantly, the big one is, what are their, what we call the buying concerns? What's the friction that could stop them? That yes, they know that this is a good product, a good service. They know they would benefit from it, but they don't go forward and buy. It would seem illogical, but there's reasons for that, and you can decode those reasons. You can discover what is the friction that stops my buyer buying. So those are the things that we look at that you need to decode. It's shifting the focus from why somebody would buy. And Bert, I can tell you, most organizations have a very clear understanding of why somebody should buy what they've got. Where it fails is then, how are they going to buy it, and why may they not? And that's what we need to understand. And we need to understand where that occurs in the buying journey. Is that something that happens at the start of the buying journey, or as they go through the buying journey, as they get more research, as they get more educated, as they see more alternatives? What's going on? And the great thing we discovered is that for a particular market, that is predictable. That in that particular marketplace, you're going to find buyers do the same kind of things. They go to the same places. They talk to the same people. They think about the same things. They're after the same kind of goals, and they get hung up on similar things. So if you can decode that buying journey, you can then start to manage it with a lot more precision and a lot more success than simply going and screaming at the marketplace that you can get their shirts whiter.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about this real quick. Something that you mentioned a couple of times now is the research. And I think that, and I want to get your opinion on this. It seems to me that buyers today do a massive amount of research, right? They're not unsophisticated, uneducated, uninformed. Let's use that word. Most of them have a handful of information. And I think that this is changing. This has changed the way we all do business, right? Because, you know, buyers aren't just showing up saying, "Hey, I don't know what's going on." You know, most of us probably do some research online. We're gonna maybe depending on the investment. Or maybe it's the age group. They may be more persuaded by reviews than other things. But it's a different world, right? I mean, today's buying journeys have drastically changed from the past, don't you think?
Massively so. You're absolutely right on the money here. So I started in sales back in the very early 80s, and it's incredible to think. I was working for a multi-billion dollar company selling computer systems, multi-million dollar computer systems. If anybody, any prospect buyer, anybody out there in the world wanted to know anything about that company, they had to dial a 1-800 number. There was no other way for them to get information but to dial 1-800. And that was a salesperson that answered the line. And we used to take it in turns. And they may want to know the fax number. They may want to know who knows what. But every so often, you got somebody that said, could you send me the brochure? Could you send me the pricing? Could you do? And that's a buyer at the start of their buying journey trying to get information. So they connected with the company. And the salesperson was the conduit through which all information flowed. The buyer turned to the salesperson again and again for advice, guidance, and information. Those days are over. It is a totally different world today. For right or for wrong, there it is. And recent research shows that today's buyer gets 40% or further down their buying journey before they even talk to a potential supplier. So that's an amazing thing. So yes, information, it doesn't matter whether you're thinking of what restaurant to eat at this evening, or what jet to buy, or what computer software to buy, what doctor to go to. It doesn't matter what you're buying. The information, and of course the misinformation, is so easily available, and that's where people start. So that has had a major influence, not just on how people buy, but it's disconnected the buyer from the seller.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, again, we're talking with Martin Lewis. The book is How Customers Buy and Why They Don't, Mapping and Managing the Buying Journey DNA, available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever good books are sold. But, okay, so this is, again, one of those things where I think we, again, as business owners, as marketers, constantly need to be reminded, or, you know, whatever the correct phrase is. We have to constantly tune up this area because we forget about the buying journey. And one of the things that we sometimes forget, and that is when our customer is doing this research, let's say they come across your website, and they're doing their research. If you don't understand why they don't buy, then you can't handle that objection on your website. You know, so if your customers aren't buying, and, you know, a real simple illustration is if your customers aren't buying because you know, maybe it's a financial decision. You know, if you let them know that there's, you know, several options available and that you take payment plans and that we're going to do whatever we can, you know, that might help them dig a little bit deeper as opposed to just having a price with no explanation. So you have to, we as business owners, as marketers, have to become good at decoding what they're thinking and handling those objections in our materials or in our websites, because of what you said, 40 to 50% of these buyers are doing, you know, are getting all their information. No, that's not what you said. You said up to 40% and more of our buyers are heading down their buying journey without any influence of a human person, is basically what you said. And so we have to know how to understand. We have to understand why they don't buy and be able to put that in our marketing materials, is what was the long-winded way of saying that. Let me ask you this.
You're so right.
Thank you. And so let me ask you this. When you were putting your book together, did you come across some surprises, some ahas, something that surprised you about the buying journey?
Well, the first one, after having talked to so many people, was this really epiphany that we had that in a particular market, people share what we call the buying journey DNA. So we actually define a market that way. But a market is a collection of buyers that buy in remarkably similar ways. That we heard this again and again and again when we talked to buyers of a particular product. They all had the same pattern. They all did the same kind of things. They all were concerned about the same kind of topics. They were all making the same kind of decisions the same way. And so sure, there's some nuances, but overall the pattern repeats itself, which means that you can decode for a market their buying journey, their concerns, what's going on, how they're going to make decisions, what alternatives they're going to look at. You can actually predict that, and therefore you can manage it. So that was one of the big epiphanies that came out of this. And then the second one, which is what you were just talking about, is how customers very quickly understand an offering and its value. And this is real ironic, and it goes back to what you were just saying, and an incredibly important point, that buyers understand your offering and the value it'll bring them. And yet most marketing and salespeople continue to try, when they're not successful, continue to try and convince the customer that this product is great and it's going to bring this value to you. They're addressing the wrong problem. The problem they need to address is the friction, the concern. That's what it is. And to the point that you were just making, ironically, counterintuitively, we are finding today that it's more important to address the concerns customers may have than to actually just continue to reinforce the benefits of your offering. They get the benefits. It's the concerns that are stopping them.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's the concerns. And ultimately, that's true, because you and I may be super excited about buying this jet, but it's the concerns, you know, where we're going to store it, who's going to fly it, what's it going to, you know, what's the real cost of maintaining the jet? These are the concerns that are going to stop us from pulling the trigger, even though, let's say we have, you know, it'll be $50 or $60 million to buy the G60.
Yep.
You know, but that's not what's going to stop us. What's going to stop us, and I like what you said there, is those concerns, those unknown questions, those uncertainties, those unknowns. You know, and of course, if you and I are going to buy it together, one of the concerns is how are we going to appropriate the time, right? Because, you know, maybe,
right.
You know, you live in one area, I live in another area, we got to mesh our schedules, all this other stuff. And I also want to point out one of the things that you said, and this is something that I see a lot of untrained salespeople do, is that they vomit the greatness of their product. You know, my company's been around a million years. We got 100,000 square foot facility. This product has bells and whistles, and it was developed by a scientist kept in a cave underneath a stone, and it's magical. And they just vomit this information, and they don't ask questions. They don't try to understand where their customer's coming from.
You're so right. And I work with salespeople just about every day. And you are so right. But in defense of salespeople, that's what their companies are training them to do when they go to sales training. That when the marketing gives them more and more information, more and more demos, more and more. So their company is arming them to do exactly that. And it's just ironic in my mind. And we see it again and again. We talk to their prospects. Their prospects get it. They believe. They believe it's a great product with great benefit. So, yeah, they're solving the wrong problem. And, you know, I'll go back to your jet thing. Not that we buy jets every day, but it's a great example. So you're right. When people are looking at jets, they worry about all those things. That's why NetJets has done so well, because NetJets flattened all of those concerns. You just pay so much a quarter, so much an hour, and you are done. So that's why NetJets has done so well. They addressed those concerns. And as I said, we don't buy jets every day, but you can take that all the way down and through anything and look at what are the concerns and how do we flatten them.
Yeah. And look, it's not the price is not always the big concern. It's in many times it has nothing to do with the price. It has to do with convenience. It has to do with all these other concerns. And so I love the idea of NetJet. So you look at what NetJet has done, and you look at what Lyft and Uber have done, and it's all about eliminating, delivering the value that was there before. In some cases, maybe they've upgraded the value, but really limiting the concerns. There is a car company, doggone it, what is the name of that car company? Anyway, so where you can rent it, you know, for just, you can rent that car.
Yep.
You rent that car for a couple of hours, you leave that car at wherever you leave it at, obviously someplace reasonable and safe, and then you don't worry about it. It's done. The concern of having to take it back to the rental facility is done with. And so it's amazing, all these different things. And so now you can rent a car and never have to go to a rental office. You can pick up that car that's going to be somewhat close to you, drop it off where it's convenient for you, and somebody else will pick it up. And to me, this illustrates exactly what you're talking about. You're overcoming the concern because the value is already stated. As buyers, we're already sold on the value. How can you make it easier, better, faster for me?
Exactly correct. Exactly.
All right. So from the time that you thought about writing the book till the time that you actually published the book, how long did that take?
Took 3 years.
Wow, 3 years. Why 3 years?
I had a company to run, a life to live, and we wanted to write a good book. So it took 2 years to bring the manuscript, all the research together and the manuscript together. And then we were a year in the publishing and editing process. And during that year, I had the distinct pleasure, being sarcastic, of my house and offices burning down in the California wildfires.
Yes. Well, that is what a neat experience that must have been.
yeah, truly.
Oh my goodness! All right, so again, we're speaking with Martin Lewis. His best-selling book is hold on, where did it go? Bear with me a second. Don't tell it. It's how customers buy and why they don't. Mapping and Managing the Buying Journey DNA, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever good books are sold. And so let me ask you this. When you were writing this book out, did you have a specific customer in mind? I mean, is this book for anybody? Because, again, you work with startups. You work with billion-dollar corporations. Did you have a particular person or CEO in mind, or is this book good for anybody?
It's good for anybody. You know, when it came time to dedicate the book, we thought about who should I dedicate the book to. And this is what it says on the dedication page. It says, this book is dedicated to all those who depend on someone somewhere buying something that they invent, create, design, develop, manufacture, distribute, finance, market, support, or sell. So basically, it's dedicated to who I wrote it for, everybody and anybody who's dependent on somebody somewhere buying something that's going to translate back to revenue for them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really just about everybody. And
It's so many people are dependent on creating a customer. Drucker said that's the very purpose of business, is to create a customer. And that's been my passion for a decade. So it's meant for everybody who has an interest in how do you really create a customer.
Yeah. And I love this idea. As I mentioned before, this is one of those Achilles tendons that we constantly have problems with, right? And the more you understand not only why your customers buy or how they buy, but why they don't buy. And this is the thing that intrigued me about your book, is that it really opens the mind to letting people know why your customers do not buy. And it's an area that most people overlook. It's interesting to me, Martin, because one of the things that we started doing is more often than not, we try to give our customers an opportunity to say no, because when a customer, you know, give me your opinion on this, when we as humans or when a customer says no, it kind of puts us in control. It allows us, you know, we kind of feel relieved that we're able to say no. And sometimes when we say no, we tend to relax a little bit. And then you can kind of, you know, start dealing with, again, the real concerns, the real issues. And it's just like you said, like you mentioned earlier, it's not just benefits. It's, you know, why is this not going to work for you? And how can this work for you, even though, you know, you have two people buying the same jet or whatever. So this is one of the reasons I totally got, excited about the book, How Customers Buy and Why They Don't, available at Amazon and wherever good books are sold, right?
Absolutely, Bert. And I love your concept of getting to know, because after you're right. After somebody has said no, you can then deal with the real issues.
Absolutely. Martin, we're out of time. I want to say thank you so much for stopping by and sharing. And I'm excited about your book. Looking forward to having you back again and talk more about how customers buy and why they don't. I want to wish you the best of luck on your book journey.
Thank you, Bert. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to the next time.
All right. Good stuff there from Martin Lewis. How does your customer buy? Do you know why they don't buy? This book is critical, and it's absolutely something that you should get excited about. Again, it's How Customers Buy and Why They Don't. And I'm going to put the information in the notes, and you can look at it. You can click on it. You can see if it's something that might up-level your business, your sales process. Anyway, How Customers Buy and Why They Don't by Martin R. Lewis. And there's just a lot of nuggets in here. The number one thing of today's conversation is that we as entrepreneurs become so passionate, so inflamed, so sold on our own benefits that we forget the customer is king. And I cannot tell you how many clients I have consulted with who've spent tens of thousands of dollars launching a product only not to have it sold, not to have it sell, because they forgot about the customer and they just assumed all this information. And one of the things that Martin did is that he surveyed his customers' customers to find out what their mindset was all about and why did they buy and why they didn't. As always, my friends, let's share this episode with everybody we know. There is literally everybody we know probably has some interaction with customers. Let's help them sell better. Let's help them, give more value to their customers. Let's share this episode with everybody we know. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.